worry about. If you can turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And a familiar passage of Scripture this time of the year. The verses that are quoted, memorized, no doubt have even been preached on today. And we're thinking of the subject, God sent forth his Son. Because that's really what we're here to think about. God sending forth his Son. And Galatians chapter 4, I'll just read verse 1 down to 6 for, maybe verse 7, just for context. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 6. And then I want to preach this message, give you a bit of the context, but then preach it as well. The Word of God says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer and ask the Lord for his help now. Father, we thank thee for the word of God that has been read already this day, the many verses of Scripture which thou hast given in thy word. We thank thee for the praises offered unto thee. And Father, we want to rejoice that thou didst send forth thy Son into this world. We pray, O God, now as we meditate upon his coming, Lord, may our souls rejoice that he came to save us from our sin. Grant us help now for the Saviour's sake. Amen and amen. The verses before us find their place in the book of Galatians as Paul teaches believers their adoption into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God has chosen to save and adopt sinners, blessing them with all spiritual blessings in Christ, because Christ came to purchase and secure the adoption of sinners he came to save by purchasing, by paying with the ultimate price, his own life and his own precious blood. You see, by nature, all of us, whether a Jew like Paul or Gentiles as the churches at Galatia, we are described as children lost, held under bondage to the world's cruel system. Again, verse 3, "So we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." The word bondage that you have before you is the word meaning slavery or to be held as a slave. And the idea is of a slave that has a chain or a yoke, something heavy, something burdensome placed upon them that one cannot free himself or that one cannot be set free. They are held by spiritual shackles, and therefore, by nature, we are all in spiritual bondage. None of us are born Christians. None of us are born good enough for heaven. There is no one here with the exception. We are all lost sinners. Hell, guilty, deserving sinners. Held in spiritual bondage, unable and helpless to free ourselves. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to set sinners free. And he came to set sinners free because he said in John 8, verse 34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And so we, by nature, are the servants of sin. We have surrendered our members as instruments to unrighteousness. For that reason, God sent forth his Son to spiritually free sinners from their bondage and to adopt them into his eternal family. This adoption is legal, spiritual, and eternal. Believers adopted into God's family enjoy all the rights, all the privileges of being a child of God. You can rejoice this day if you are saved by grace and you've been adopted into the family of God. You are a son, a daughter of the Most High. You're a child of the King. And so Paul brings this truth before God's people to let them know that to save us and to adopt us, God sent forth his Son. And the word "send forth" means to send out from or to be sent with a purpose. And God sent forth his Son with a purpose, and that was to redeem sinners and then to adopt them into his family. And once again, in these verses, you have the birth and the death of Christ connected together. And so we want us to think of these thoughts this afternoon very briefly of God sending forth his Son. Notice God sent forth his Son for intervention. Verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. The Lord Jesus was appointed to save a people from all sin. And to save that people, he had to come down from heaven to earth. He had to come into this world of fallen humanity to intervene in the history of this world, to accomplish redemption, to finish the work of the cross in order to adopt sinners. And therefore, he intervened, as the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come. Now, instead of getting into all the words individually, I'll just simply give you the overall meaning of that phrase, when the fullness of time was come. It simply means at the end of an appointed time or at a period of time, God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time, at the exact time, at a period of time. God sent forth his Son. The Savior came into this world at Bethlehem at the right time, the appointed time, God's own eternal purpose. And without his intervention, there would be no deliverance from bondage. It would be impossible for any person to be saved because man cannot save himself. And because by nature we're held in spiritual bondage, then we're on that road leading to eternal damnation, all on the broad road leading to hell. And that's why we read in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. He hath visited and redeemed his people. And therefore, child of God, you can rejoice. For that day not only, when you heard the gospel that Christ intervened in this world to save sinners, but that he saved you. God sent his Son into this world to save you, that for your sakes, the one who was rich became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. And as a child of God, as a child of the King, as a citizen of heaven, you enjoy all the blessings of the gospel, all the privileges, the entitlements as the people of God. And therefore you can rejoice. But unsaved one, you need Christ as your Savior. You need to take this gospel and have it applied to your heart. Because Luke 15, verse 2 says, this man receiveth sinners. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You don't have later on. You don't have tomorrow. And if you do, it's only by the grace of God. No man is promised tomorrow. That's why the Bible speaks of urgency. You must come now, right now. Today is the accepted time. Now is the right time. Salvation is offered to you. Therefore, be ye saved. Notice secondly, God sent forth his Son by incarnation. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman. Therefore, the incarnation lies at the very heart of God's purpose to redeem and adopt sinners from spiritual bondage. Christ could only purchase deliverance by becoming man. Notice he became or made of a woman. That word made means became. And the phrase of a woman means out of a woman. And so here we learn again the great thought of Genesis 3:15, Christ coming from the seed of the woman. He came from the woman. And these words, made of a woman, point to something unique as far as the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, his coming, because he came from the seed of the woman, not the seed of man. You see, if Christ had come from the seed of man, then he would have been a sinner like anyone. But he came from the seed of woman. He had no biological father. Again, we learn Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, quoting from Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, God with us. And therefore, if Christ had been born of the seed of man, then he would have needed a Savior like anyone, because the one who must remove sin must be without sin. He must be sinless. He must have a sinless humanity. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who had a sinless humanity, because he was born of the seed of the woman. Again, remember Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The word given to Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The phrase "holy thing" means holy one. And the first, or the word "overshadowed," it simply means to descend upon, or to come upon, or to rest upon. In fact, this word, "the power of the highest shall overshadow thee," is the exact same word found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth." And so the Holy Spirit came upon Mary to sanctify her, to take off the substance of her womb, and perform the miracle of all miracles, the sinless humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was done by the power of the highest. And we must grasp that, because that goes beyond our mind. It went beyond Mary's mind, because she said in Luke 1, verse 34, "How can this be? How can this be?" And the answer given to her, "With God, nothing shall be impossible," or "With God, nothing shall be without power." You see, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And therefore, here is a divine work, a miracle of all miracles. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, "A body thou hast prepared for me." And that word in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, referring to his body, "A body thou hast prepared for me." That word "prepared" means to frame or to fit together. It's the exact same word used in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. In the creation of this world, the worlds were framed by the word of God, or the worlds were prepared by the word of God. And so when we come to the body, the sinless humanity of Christ, it was prepared by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, protecting his humanity, that it would be without sin. Therefore, Paul emphasizes, here is one who is born sinless, and that's why he can be the Savior of sinners. Paul emphasizes the humanity of Christ was real. He was made on to his brethren. He partook of the same, dwelt among us in order to bring us into the family of God. Therefore, the incarnation is the good news for sinners. It's the glad tidings of great joy. Luke 1, verse 73, to give them light that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And therefore we sat in darkness, but the glorious light of the gospel was given to us, and Christ has lit up our soul. He has saved us, redeemed us by his almighty power. And therefore, child of God, here is the great blessing. We lack nothing, because the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Whenever God give us his gift, he give us everything that we will need. Everything in that gift is wrapped in everything. And therefore, that swaddling clothes that he was wrapped in, there is the Savior of the world, and everything we need for life, for salvation, for eternity, is found in Jesus Christ. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our Adopter, our Provider, our Sanctifier, the one who glorifies us. Everything we need is found in him. And therefore, sinner, everything you need is found in him as well, to have your sin fully dealt with. Notice finally, God sent forth his Son by identification. Notice the words. He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. One thing it's stated about adoption, and as I said, this passage, while in a sense people this time of the year lift it out of its context, in a sense in an isolation part to preach on the incarnation, the birth of Christ, which is fine, but in its context, Paul is dealing with the believer's adoption into the family of God. And one thing you may know about adoption is expensive. Adoption involves a cost. You don't just get a child free. It's costly, and a lot of things to be done, legal work. And therefore, this adoption involved a price. It involved legality. The Son of God, he paid the infinite cost for our adoption. And that was his life, his own precious blood. He has legally adopted us, that we can never be put back into a system again of works or bondage. He will never let us go. Once you're in the family of God, there is no getting out. There's no being cast out. There's no being kicked out. Because he said, all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6, verse 37, which we will look at, God willing, next week. And therefore, he will never cast you out. He will never expel you from heaven. That's why we have here in these verses his birth at Bethlehem, and we're taken to the cross. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, made under the law. There is Bethlehem, his birth, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And there is Calvary. The word redeem means to ransom, to pay the price, to buy back. And therefore, sinners fallen, Christ came to purchase you. He came to buy you back. We were in the slave market of sin, and we would have stayed there had the Lord not saved us. He became a curse for us. And that means he became the accursed one, the punished one. He became a curse for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of him. He paid his own precious blood, our salvation, our redemption, our adoption, that we might receive adoption of sons. He did everything that needed to be done. He took care of the full transaction. Therefore, there's nothing else that you need to do. You cannot save yourself. You cannot adopt yourself into God's family. You cannot just move into God's family. You must be redeemed and brought in by the Lord. And that's why we think of this time of the year, the greatest gift, and we said this before, that you will ever receive is the gift of eternal salvation. As we reflect on Christ's birth at Bethlehem, God sent forth his Son. We're also led to Jerusalem that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came to redeem us. Are you redeemed this day? Are you in the family of God? Are you a child of the King? Or are you still a child of the devil in the kingdom of darkness? Do you still sit in darkness? Oh, be saved this day, because God sent forth his Son with a purpose to save sinners who will come to him by faith. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake.